listen, don't mention the war. I mentioned it once, but I think I got away with it all right. So, it's all forgotten.
Hello, hello, hello. This is the Don't Mention the Football. It's rude to talk when other people are talking.
I couldn't resist it. I just had to say hello.
Welcome. Simon is not with me today, which is a sad state of affairs. Why? Why aren't you here, Simon? What's wrong?
What's wrong? Because I took a holiday, I'm afraid. I missed out on the last Hertha game against Hoffenheim. Because I was sunning myself in sunnier climates.
Just because of you, it wasn't sold out.
Yes.
I think we had.
I don't take up that many seats.
32,000, I guess.
Really?
Yeah.
Gosh. I gathered from comments and things that I saw sort of flying around the place that the attendance can't have been very good, but the weather can't have helped.
And they also, I think Friday was the last day of school. Berlin now has a winter break or winter holidays. They were...
Well, that certainly wouldn't have helped.
Yeah, I think they were invented so people from Berlin could go skiing.
We'll just nip down to the Harz Mountains and have a go down there, perhaps.
Yeah, I just didn't. So you went to Spain, I take it.
I did. And I think it was a lot nicer weather-wise in Spain than it was in Berlin.
No.
It was.
I'm not
ashamed to say.
Only if you're so ignorant to not appreciate a nice blizzard once in a while.
Yes, I saw pictures of the snow coming down and things in there. Because I watched as much of the Hertha game as I could in a German bar that I found. So on the screen, I could see the snow coming down, and personally, I was hiding in the shade because it was a bit too hot. But there you go.
It's a hard knock life.
Sorry?
It's a hard knock life.
Oh, it is. It's a very hard life, but somebody's got to live it. Besides my holiday plans, what are we going to be talking about today, Young Yan?
The away game in Bremen.
Uh-huh.
The home game, as you mentioned, against Hoffenheim.
Yep.
And then I have transfers on my list,
mm-hmm.
goalkeepers, and questions.
Questions.
We do seem to have at least two or three listeners and listeneresses, if we want to gender it properly. Okay, Simon, why don't
With
you...
With Twitter, you really can't tell. It could... Could be anything out there.
Oh, Sabine, who we mentioned before, she was mentioned on the In My Hertha podcast, the one by the newspaper, the Berliner Morgenpost, and they called her a male. Because her Twitter handle is Knipper, or as you would say, Nipper, 1892. She's female. Anyway.
There's a few accounts out there where you can't tell. Some people deliberately go out of their way to make it so that you can't tell, but for their own reasons. Anyway, we digress once more.
We haven't even started yet.
No, don't do it. Perhaps we shouldn't have called it I Don't Mention the Football. We should have just called it Digressing and just left it at that.
Okay, I found this great podcast, but I'm going to talk about that later. Okay, let's start with the Bremen game.
All right.
It was on BT Sports, as I surmise.
It was. That was the last one that has, because I don't think Dortmund was.
No.
But certainly the Hoffenheim game wasn't.
And you didn't make any new fans with that game.
Sorry?
Hertha didn't win over many new fans.
No, it wasn't... It wasn't that spectacular. There was a few interesting points out of it from a sort of semi-academic perspective, but didn't light any fires, really, I don't think, that game.
Unlike the Dortmund game.
Yeah. So the team was, broadly speaking, the same as the previous game.
Yeah, Duda, Kalou, Lazaro.
Seem to recall. Trump still in goal.
Did Lustenberger play? Yeah, he did. Oh, yeah, he did.
He definitely did.
Against Dortmund. Yeah, he did because he won this one. This one duel with Isak, the new Swedish phenomenon. No,
he had a good game against Dortmund. I seem to recall.
Yep, he did.
Less so this time around. But
okay.
But hey, interesting points about this game.
I have 3 points.
Okay.
Which ones do you have? Are you even prepared?
Oh, I always prepare. I've got copious notes written here. copious.
I have the 10th minute, the 68th minute, and something else.
34th. The goal that wasn't as a result of the video
assistant referee. 10th minute.
Was that 10th?
Yes.
So why is that? I didn't think it was as late as 34. My copious notes are completely inaccurate in that case.
They hit the aluminium. They hit the post in the second minute. Then Hertha had a so-so chance, and then they came back and hit the goal. But thanks to the video assistant referee, who is about as popular as Donald Trump in New York. Yeah, he disallowed the goal. Maybe we should. Do we have to explain everything about the VAR? Or
I don't think so. I think most people sort of got the gist of having some guy. I think they sit in Cologne, don't they? To watch it in the in a little darkened room somewhere.
So,
and if something dramatic happens, they can flag it up, or the ref can ask for a calling. In this particular, I can't remember who the Bremen player was, but somebody bashed their elbow into Lusty's face.
Delaney.
That goal. Did they?
Delaney.
Oh, Delaney, was it?
Nobody delayed was Delaney. The.
But I mean, we saw the replays and things afterwards, and
it was the Danish man Delaney.
It was definitely a foul, so...
It was 14 seconds.
It was a good call, I think.
It was a good call, but 14 seconds is a long time. But the official statement is that as long as the attack is progressing... And Hertha didn't have the ball, or only touched the ball once and had no ball control. So it was a 14-second attack, which ended with a goal. And so the goal was disallowed, to the chagrin, how do you say in English, of the Werder fans, who were really upset and said that the referee was bought by Berlin.
Really?
Yeah, which is stupid. And he got a yellow card for that. The game was disallowed and the game went on.
And there's a lot of fuss made about video assistant referees and the fact that the whole idea will slow games down by going to refer to this guy that's sitting in this darkened room somewhere.
Dark room.
But, I mean, there's two things there. I can't even remember which game it was. I watched a few days ago. And the ref went over to the linesman and had this big, in-depth discussion as to what was going on. I think the linesman was making a call about something on one side. And that went on for ages. They were there sort of, pointing and waving and just discussing the matter. And I don't really see that takes any longer than it does with a video assistant referee. I mean, that's one thing that I would say. And also, the amount of time that's wasted in football matches by people flouncing down to the ground, rolling around as if they've just had their kneecap shot off, trying to gain some sort of favour from the referee, and then getting up and dancing off 2 minutes later. That costs a lot of time in football games.
Diving and flopping.
Resent.
Diving and flopping.
Well, it's all the rolling around on the floor trying to make out the dead. I mean, it's just stupid. It just wastes a load of time. And for what? I haven't got a lot of time for that, I'm afraid.
I'm too old for that shit.
You might have gathered that.
Okay, Lustenberger has a concussion, or had a concussion. So the question if it was a foul should be answered. He had to be ejected from the game, and he saw everything in doubles. He had,
double vision.
Double vision. Yeah. And then I have nothing else for the rest of the first half. I think we were kind of lucky not to be...
The thing that I noted at the time, I sort of scribbled down about how little service there was to Solker, who was sort of left sort of stranded like a beached whale at the front of the pitch. Which must have been pretty frustrating for him, I think. Didn't he get subbed later on?
Yes, he did.
Yeah, because he was getting all wound up. I think he had a little argument with somebody on the touchline, and he got sort of subbed off shortly after that. I think he lost his rag a little bit there, perhaps. I don't know.
He was booked, and then he was running. There was the danger of him getting a red or a yellow red card.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
But the thing is, if he hadn't been subbed, I think he would have scored on that one chance in the 68th minute. Because he would have headed it in, because he's bigger.
Yeah.
Ibišević came on, and I think it was the best move, the best sequence of the whole game was when Lazaro went over the baseline, and not over, but he went past the baseline and... passed the ball into the front of the goal, and Ibišević only had to touch it, but he somehow managed to shoot it way above the goal.
Yeah, that could have ended better, but
Yeah, there's that.
But the thing is, if he had stayed on, you say he might have scored that goal, but if he had stayed on and picked up a second yellow, then it could have gone badly in a different way.
Yeah.
We'll see.
But seriously, all the games I've seen in Bremen were always abysmal.
You did say that beforehand.
Speaking...
you absolutely nailed it, I would say.
I jotted down some stats why we should be happy with the 1 point. 18-5 shots.
Yeah.
That's quite
damning, really, isn't
it? Yeah. And then the Werder ran 3 more kilometers than the Hertha team. And Hertha's passing rate was 69%, which is really bad.
Ooh.
And Selke only had 22 ball actions, which is nothing.
No. I mean, that's one of the things that I noted about the lack of service to Selke. If he's not getting the ball, he can't do anything with it, and... He wasn't. I mean, the other things that I made notes of were, just before half turn, there was a really important deflection from Stark. So it's another defensive point. 75th minute, a save from Kraft. Lucky to get away with it all, really. It's probably the summary of that particular game.
Damn lucky.
My finishing comment was not pretty, but. We're quite lucky to have got away with a point.
Oh, and then we had the clearance by Tonariga in the 93rd minute or something like that?
Yes, that's right at the end, wasn't it?
Yeah, they put the ball past past Kraft. And I don't know how, but somehow Jordan stopped it.
Good man.
Shitty game. Shitty game. I think that's all the stats I have for that game. It was just too bad. Then during, if we want to proceed chronologically, we would have to talk about the transfer.
The transfer.
The one player we lost.
Mm. Which is a shame in a way.
Yeah.
He has been sort of very important. In the past, he has made some sort of some big clangers, the two penalties given away over in Bilbao being one of them that sort of sticks in my mind. But
yeah.
He has been very good as well, so wish him good luck. And we see how it works out for both Hertha and Mr. Langkamp.
But it seemed to... He asked for the transfer, because he heard about... He was approached by Bremen.
Mm-hmm.
And... So I figured that they asked him because they lost a player who wasn't playing for them anymore. I think Zane was his name. And then they approached him, and I think his future with Hertha would have been that he would be allowed to stay, but he wouldn't be getting that much playing time, because you have on the left center back you have Torunariga Rekic, then you have Niklas Stark. And then you have the youth players in Bark, and Sidney Friede, who was just signed, also is a center back.
Mm.
And he's 31?
Mm.
But it was a really sad video.
I mean, one of the good things that seems to be happening at the moment, and that's something that Pal Dardai must have helped with, I would say, is the bringing on of the young players coming through.
Yeah,
it's nice to see.
But then you have fallout. That's the other side of the coin, that some old established players leaving. But it's okay.
Yeah,
as that I call it was it that I said it was a good breakup. He did say that.
Aww.
He said that.
Good for him. Yeah.
Well, then, okay, we lost Langkamp. Oh, the good thing is they got 2.5 million for him, which is kind of good.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he was pretty sad that...
Well, the transfer deals and things that Hertha have been doing recently are pretty impressive, I would say. What with... Mr. Brooks and what have you going, and then the newcomers have come in that we've already discussed on a previous podcast.
Yes.
But even down to that, that's a good piece of business.
But we can't praise the transfers enough, right?
We've done it quite a lot already. So anyway, we'll come back, because there was another transfer that wasn't. That popped up, wasn't there? There was somebody was after Plattenhardt.
Oh yeah, that.
Did you hear about?
Yeah, I just read yesterday on Twitter yesterday. What's his name? Rangnick, Mr. Rangnick of Fizzypop.
Yeah, from the team from Leipzig that shall not be named.
Fizzypop
had shown an interest because they lost a player from injury, didn't they?
The Hertha game. Oh no, twice. He broke his hand in the Hertha game, and then he had.
Was that one?
Yeah, and then he tore something in practice.
So they wanted a replacement, didn't they? So they came fishing for Marvin Plattenhardt.
And here also,
as I understand it, what actually happened was they. They didn't say, no, push off, we don't want to talk to you. They just asked for silly money and bonuses and things, and they just said no thank you and went away again.
And the good thing about this one is that last summer, Preetz gave him an early extension.
Yeah.
And that was that could have been the decisive factor of him not leaving, you know, if you have somebody with a longer contract.
Yeah.
And I think before he also had this exit clause. It's called exit clause? What do you call it in English? You know, if you can leave, if you have something like that, okay, if somebody pays 80 million for you, we can...
I know what you mean. There's a set figure that whether the club wants it or whatever, then... Another club can pay that amount of money and they're gone.
We call it German. In German, it's called Ausstiegsklausel, exit clause.
Yeah. I don't think it's... There is a name for it, but it escapes me.
I bet it's pretty fancy.
Probably not. It's probably something really simple.
Okay, so we could retain the services of Mr. Plattenhardt.
Yes.
And maybe then we should move on to the other, the next game. Next.
Hoffenheim. Yep. I wasn't able to watch all of it, to be honest. So my view on it is purely based on highlights that are being shown at the same time. There's a program it's on Sky, isn't it, called The Conference? Everybody in Germany will know about it, but for people outside, it shows all the games that are being played, in this case, on a Saturday afternoon. Yeah. And if anything interesting happens, it will flip from one game to another.
Yeah, no one. One guy
they don't have that in England. So
one guy will yell, "Goal in Berlin!" And then they'll
flip over.
Yeah.
So it's a bit like a live version of Match of the Day in a way. It's quite good actually. If you can't watch the whole game that you want to watch, it's a good way of getting a flavour of what's happening in the Bundesliga, in real time.
So only having watched the conference, what's your?
I watched Sportschau in the evening as well. So I
what's
saw
your
the
take
on that?
What's your take of the game?
Well, I hate having to sort of, summarise a game in sort of one sort of glib kind of statement when it came down to it. We got away with a point, and that's always got to be a positive thing.
And compared to last year we scored 0 points in the two games against them, and now we already have two.
Yeah. I think one of the, because again, I have to emphasise, only seeing this on highlights, is the incident with Jordan Torreira, where he didn't mean to. He sort of kicked the ball, and his foot came down onto the ankle of Demirbay, was it, or something like
Demirbay. That? Demirbay, and if it was a foul, it would have been a foul by Demirbay.
Yeah, but it just looked horrible because his ankle sort of collapsed, and I gather he's got sort of quite bad ankle ligament damage.
Yeah, he got two different things. It might have been a good idea for Plattenhardt, because he was also somebody who could have been in the World Cup team.
I doubt it was planned somehow or other, but it might work out that way. But it was just a horrible. It's one of those incidents where you see something happen and it's just horrible to see it, because these guys have a comparatively short playing career, and if you see an ankle sort of going over like that, it's not pretty. But so that's him out of the picture for a little while.
But they still make more money in a week than we do. Most people of us do in their entire career, so.
Oh, well, I'm not going to cry to my beer too much over them, but.
Or crowdfund for them.
I still don't like seeing it, but really.
Or like Wagner last season with the finger, remember?
Oh, people have made some amazing gifs about that with his finger that you see on Twitter popping up every now and again. It was horrible seeing that finger like that. Because the team doctor or physio or whatever sort of came on and
he popped it back in.
That must have hurt a little bit, I would have thought. But,
serves him right.
It couldn't have happened to a nicer fella.
Okay. I think I only have one. Okay, I took down the goals on my list, but I also have Lazaro and 3 exclamation points.
Yeah, I think I tweeted something. It must have been just after the match is finished that man of the match sort of territory. What else do we have here?
Oh, we had one. Anne Meyer was replaced by Darida.
Yes.
In the defensive midfield.
They had a very, very last minute shot, Darida, but didn't get to it. I think there was a pass, but no, Darida put the pass in, that was right, over towards Selke, but he couldn't quite get to it because that would have given us 3 points, but wasn't to happen.
The thing is that Selke in that game looked a bit, he was missing the rub of the green, as a very famous English podcaster would say.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. As long as he isn't losing something, you know, after being sort of subbed off against Bremen, and then perhaps not doing quite so well in that game as well.
I don't think so. The thing is that you have two pretty decent strikers, and if you don't play them as a double, as two strikers, if you don't play a 4-4-2, then you have to play a 3-2, no, 4-2-3-1 is what they play, and then you only have one striker. So if the one striker doesn't have any luck, or something is not really falling, not the cookie's not crumbling his way, then you just have to give the other guy a chance too, right?
Yeah.
Especially since he's the captain.
Yeah.
But, oh no! They were in there both together. But first of all, we had the penalty, which here in Germany started a big, once again, a big, big, big discussion about the VAR. Because we all thought it was offside. Actually, the guy who... there was a penalty. There was a ball in the box. Stark headed. And then he tried to shoot it away. But Nico Schulz, a former Hertha player from the youth academy, he came in and put his foot between the ball and Stark. So Stark hit him. And it was a penalty. But for most people, it looked like Schulz was offside because he was out of bounds, beyond the baseline. But
you can't be much more offside than that, really.
But there's a new thing, and I think the good thing is that I also saw an English tweet about it, because Colinas Erben tweeted a list or an explanation from the IFAB, which is the International Football Administration Board or something like that. And it talks about deliberate actions. Let me just jot that down to put it in the show notes. CE, deliberate play. The thing is, had Stark got the ball. However, he got the ball. And then he stopped the ball and he was about to pass it somewhere, which is a deliberate action. Had he not been if he hadn't had ball control, it would have been offside by Schulz. But since it was a new situation, when he controlled the ball, he was not offside.
I'd heard people talking about this, it being a new, you know, sort of play situation, kind of thing. And I guess that does kind of explain it, I suppose.
Yeah. Kramaric scored, but Kraft almost got it.
Yes.
And once again, the penalty curse continues.
I couldn't believe another penalty. It was just...
For Christ's sake.
In this bar that we're sitting in, there were a bunch of fans of various different descriptions scattered around the place. There were lots of looks going around the place with about the penalties. On a complete side issue, nothing to do with this match directly, there was a Schalke fan. There was like a little hatch going through to the bar because we were sitting outside in front of a big screen. And this Schalke fan was going absolutely nuts during the course of that match because, of course, the Schalke game didn't go very well for
Kirken. They lost to Bremen.
he went you know, because I think they scored first of all, and then in all the excitement, he had a sip of his beer and then rushed off to the loo. Then he came back, and of course, everything went belly up after that. And oh my goodness, he was going absolutely bonkers. This guy, it was more fun watching him than it was the game.
Schalke was playing at home, and they were up by one goal, and then they had the 78th, they had a red card.
Yeah, the man sent off, yeah.
1 minute later, they Bremen equalized, and then in the 93rd minute, Junuzovic scored the winning goal.
So, there are kind of reasons why this guy was going ballistic, but yeah. Anyway, that was a slight digression of the...
Halftime with, I would say, a game where it wasn't one of the most pleasing games to watch, but Hertha had, they were the better team overall.
Mm.
And due to the penalty, we were down at halftime.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know when, at some point he subbed out Kalou, I think, and put in Ibišević. Which I don't exactly...
I think it was Kalou that scored, was it not?
Yeah.
Because what I had written down from the highlights and things that I saw at the time and afterwards, that Lazaro put a cross in. It went over the top of Selke, bizarrely, for such a tall chap. And Kalou got a fourth header. That's a fourth header he's had this season, which is, for a little guy, that's pretty amazing.
Ah, no, but in the 57th minute, a minute before the goal was scored, the equaliser was scored by Kalou, Esvein, AE7, left the pitch, and Ibišević came in, and he made a big difference. Because unlike Selke, he's able to just... in German you say hold the ball. You know, he just gets... He stands in a post-up position, and he... In German you say festmachen. He just holds the ball... And yep. Also, he's very... I think he's a good passer for a striker.
Yeah.
And what happened? Lazaro, who was, in my opinion, the best player of the game, he was running with the ball, but he was running with a certain... He has a certain determination about him, you know?
Mm.
He's running like he means it. I like that.
Increasingly, fairly early on, in terms of the transfers that have been made this year, Rekic stood out as being a really good one, and Selke, and certainly in the first game at least, Lecky.
The first five games, yeah.
But as time moved on, I mean, I suppose it's a little bit unfair because Rekic hasn't been sort of playing the last few, has he? Lazaro is starting to come to the fore in terms of the sort of standout transfer coming in. But that may be partly because my memory is short and I'm forgetting some of the things that other people have done.
Okay, Lazaro, I think he got the ball somewhere near the box and he just ran off with the ball on the right. And... They were all asking for a pass, and then he didn't pass it. Oh no, he fucked it up. And then he ran two more meters, and then he crossed it in. And I think the only two players who were really battling for the ball were Kalou and Selke, or Kalou and Ibišević. They were in the same position, and then Kalou just bam put in there.
Yeah. It actually went out. Selke was there, and he was closer to Lazaro than than Kalou, but I think it was coming in from quite high up, and even Selke with his height, you know, he couldn't, or at least didn't get to it, but it landed just on for Kalou, and bang, in you go. Like I said earlier, I mean, that's a fourth header this season for Kalou, and he's
6'10".
He's what?
He's 6'10". What do you expect? No, he's not.
What, Kalou? Is that inches?
Yeah.
Anyway. So, last minute, I think I mentioned before.
Kalou is 6 feet.
You tend to think of him as being quite small, don't you? But I guess some of the people around him are just, you know, that much bigger. He always comes across, you know, running around the field, as being quite a slight kind of character. But if he's 6 foot, he really isn't, is he?
Zeke is something.
Thinking about it, I've stood next to the guy, and he didn't seem small then.
Yeah, he's smaller than me. Yeah, but then you have guys like Zelke who's 6'6", 6'7", or something like that. So he looks more. And also he's very slim.
Yeah.
Okay. Great goal. Yeah, and then... I don't have any more notes.
There was that bit, I think I mentioned it before, that we, you know, really right near the end... Derrida
to Zelke
had a chance of a crossover to Zelke, but it didn't quite get to him, which is a shame.
Oh, then are you talking about the counter attack towards the end? Because there was one scene where Zelke got the ball at the box and he ran all the way across the field, then he passed it out too early, and then I don't know who was it. I think it was Pekarik, and he couldn't decide whether to shoot at the goal or pass, and it was just a shitty pass.
I'm hampered because I only sort of saw. I mean, I may not have even seen the bit that you're describing. It's not as I pictured because I only got to see, I only saw the highlights. So, I may have missed what you're describing. Don't like missing Hertha games, but it was very nice being away in the sunshine.
No, it was in the 78th minute. I think it was Zeke and Kalou. But anyway, we won. We didn't win, but we didn't lose, so we won a point.
We got a point is a point. It's a bit of a cliche, but it's true when it comes down to it.
Dardai calls it the collecting period. We're collecting points.
Yes, one at a time. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, the games that are coming up, because I think that was one of the questions that we had, was about the up-and-coming games, and whilst we're in this collecting period, how many points do we think we're likely to get?
Okay, Leverkusen away looks like... No, that's a no for me.
it's unlikely, but it always depends a little bit because Hertha sometimes can be a bit sort of a Jekyll and Hyde-y, really, in terms of which team actually sort of comes out on the day. I mean, I wouldn't rule that out completely. I'm probably gonna lose 7-0 or something now after having said that, but. Well, what have we got after that? Mainz at home, you've got to think we'll get some points out of that, surely.
I think that the home game against Mainz should be 3 points.
I think that should be three points.
It has to be 3 points if we wanna leave the wasteland and go somewhere near, you know, up there. competing for Europe. And then we have the away game in München where I don't expect anything, so I would say we expect three points on the next three games, right?
That's what I would have put down, yeah.
The only thing points. that could be in our favor is that Leverkusen yesterday, we are recording on Wednesday, yesterday Leverkusen played overtime, extra time against Bremen, which they lost, with which they won in a dramatic fashion. I think Bremen was up 2-0 and then they...
Whenever you end up sort of thinking that that might be some sort of advantage, it never seems to work out somehow or other. I've thought that many times over the year. Oh, well, that's going to help us because they're going to be really tired. And it all goes horribly wrong.
We'll see what happens.
The only thing is, I would say about Bayern, we quite often do okay going away to Munich.
We still lose in the 88th minute by a goal by either Ribéry or Robin.
Because I went there, was it two years ago to watch that game?
Okay.
And it was 0-0, and I think Bayern won, but they won right at the last minute. It was, you know, like the 85th minute or something. We've been hanging on all that sort of time and playing sort of pretty well, really. And then still lost all the points, but hey. I think, yeah, you're not likely to get very much from that. So I would concur, really. 3 points out of the next three matches. It's probably about right.
Here you are.
Yeah.
So next match is not... Oh, you screwed up my plan.
Sorry.
First of all, I have the Kraft-Jahrstein situation on the list. Right?
Yeah.
So, before last game, there was talk, or there were rumors about Jahrstein coming back. But Dada said, let's give him time. And Kraft did...
I think he was training, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was.
Before the lot. And so some people speculated that he was going to be sort of coming back, but... I mean, Croft's it's a good keeper. We don't have to push Jahrstein, you know, into it before he's completely ready.
Let's say he has improved.
Mm.
Yeah, I think Jahrstein is still the better keeper, but he has improved a lot under. Joel Petri, the goalkeeper coach.
I mean, yeah, Jahrstein's a really good keeper, and because we've got a good backup in the form of Kraft, maybe not, you know, as good, you don't want to take any unnecessary risks with injury. That's almost certainly what the management is their view, and I think they're probably right with that.
Okay. So Jahrstein will be back for the next or game after next if nothing happens. And then if he has to perform, and if he doesn't perform, we could see another change in the goalkeeper position. But Dade mentioned that he's really happy with the goalkeeper squad.
And so he should be. He's spoiled for choice there, really. But that's that. Good.
Yeah. I also have transfers, and we already talked about the Langkamp transfer, and I have the Sidney Friede transfer, who is I think he was a U19 player. And I always thought of him as being a midfielder, but he seems to be a center back, and he just signed his first pro contract with Hertha.
Yeah.
Yeah, not much to say about that.
No, well, I mean, time will tell. He's got that pro contract. Whether he'll see any time, well, we'll see, won't we?
Well, we have some injuries, though.
You know, when we get to be 7-0 up against Bayern away, perhaps he'll get a run out there.
That'll be the day.
That would be quite a day. That really would, but yeah, I'm not holding my breath.
Friede is 19 years old, right-footed. And he's been with Hertha, I think, for quite some time. Yeah, yeah. And he didn't play much, or didn't play at all in the U23. But we'll see what happens. There was a cute little after practice video where they talked to him a little bit, and he said these interviews where they don't say anything at all.
These phrases that,
I'm happy to be on the team. Yeah, yeah. I hope I can establish myself. And with all the injuries happening right now, I hope I can make it into the squad. And then probably, if I'm lucky, I could get some minutes and blah, 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 blah. And I want to help the team, most importantly.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. Yes.
Yes. Yes, yes.
And the sponsors.
I would like to thank the Academy. Okay, that's it. Do you have any more questions from your side, or?
Only the ones that you sort of picked up. There's something about the fans that might be worth sort of mentioning, in that I saw sort of tweets and things being sort of banded around the place about the lack of choreos now because of various disputes between the fans, some of the fan groups and the management.
Why don't we do that at the last one? Let's start with the viewer question or listener questions.
Okay.
And then we probably talk about the fans if I feel like it. But I'm not sure if I feel like it. Okay. Well,
perhaps worth just mentioning that in itself. You don't need to go into sort of fine details of the fan politics, or not at this occasion anyway.
Okay, questions from our listeners. We only had two replies, but at least two is more than zero, I learned recently.
It is.
Okay, the first question, we already mentioned that. How many points do we expect from the next three games? I go with three points, but I'll go with 4 points.
Four points. You're going for that draw in Munich, then. Excellent.
Or Leverkusen. I'm going to Munich. We could win.
You could make the difference. So, yeah, I think we both agree on that one, really. You say four. I would like to say four, but I think probably more realistically three is what I would say on that one.
Why don't we start a little betting group? You know, we can always... since you in England are so big about the Glücksspiel and... You know what I mean?
Betting and I don't match up. I'm not a betting person at all.
Betting is just stupid. Anyway... Yeah, 3 points. You say three, I say four?
Yeah, go for that.
The winner gets a coffee.
Excellent.
From the loser. Well. So, and the next thing...
The loser gets a coffee made by me.
User Sorgenkind, which maybe...
Hello.
Can you explain Sorgenkind?
It's a problem child, isn't it?
Yeah.
Or something along those sort of lines.
And it goes back to a song.
Ah, does it? That I didn't realize.
Wir sind so, wie wir sind. Mal liebt mal uns, mal hasst man uns. Das Berliner Sorgenkind. Yeah, it's a song.
Huh.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. You live and learn.
You live, you learn. His question, hang on. I got it somewhere. Here he is. Oh, he wants me to... He says, greetings to Simon. Ask him what a Schnattertasche is. And then he says, you and Simon should discuss the 50+1 topic. Especially with his experience with the development of English football. He says that England not having a 50+1 rule has led to you... coming to Germany and watching Hertha.
it certainly had an impact on it. Not the rule itself, the way the fans and the support in Germany is far better in my view from what I've seen.
Yeah, but only
the history of football in the two countries is quite radically different, far more so than it initially appears, and it's sort of deeper and more longer lasting than,
but if you go back
just the 50+1 rule,
but if you go back before the times of the Iron Lady, I hope she burns in hell, you had better support in England.
Well, going back into the 70s and what have you, my lingering impression of football support there was sort of mass riots, more or less, rather than wonderful support.
The good old days.
Of trains being totally destroyed by sets of football, in inverted commas, fans. I think that's a view that's held in Germany, curiously, but is not necessarily shared by certainly everybody in England.
But maybe we should just take a step back and explain the 50+1 rule for our listeners who are not familiar.
Yeah, it's about the ownership and control of clubs in Germany. It's not completely universal. There are a few that have managed to sort of sidestep it in various different ways. But in essence, what it means is that the 50 plus one is a 50% plus one percentage that has to be owned by fans, as opposed to any investor or any other sort of vested interest within the club, which means that the fans have the casting vote, if you like, for changes that might happen within the club and decisions that are made on behalf of the club. So at the heart of the decision-making process in the German Football League, the fans are very much in there, as opposed to what happens certainly in the sort of Premier League side of things in England. You sometimes think that the management and the people running the clubs in Britain, the investors that are in behind it all, don't give a monkeys about the fans. They're just in it for their own ends.
I found this new website. It's called Wikipedia. Maybe you haven't heard of it yet.
That sounds funky.
And Wikipedia says the 50 plus 1 rule is an informal term used to refer to a clause in the regulations of the Deutsche Fußballliga. The clause states that in order to obtain a license to compete in the Bundesliga, a club must hold a majority of its own voting rights. The rule is designed to ensure that the club's members retain overall control, protecting clubs from the interests of external investors. And what you said about the fans having the control is yes and no, because most of the professional football teams have been, branched out into...
The thing is, it's not what it first appears, really, because it sounds very, very good, the idea that the fans have to be able to own 50 plus 1% of the voting rights within the club.
Yeah.
But you have the professional teams, because like Hertha is like a like a sport club, and there's the football side of it all, there's table tennis, I think there's boxing as well, isn't there?
And Keegan.
But the professional football part of it all is a separate legal entity from Hertha BSC as a club.
Yeah.
So it's not quite as simple as it seems.
No.
It's not quite as pure as it sounds.
And you have the exceptions.
Like having the voting rights for a club to the south of Berlin, where they have about seven members or something like that, and they all work for a fizzy drink company. So they've sidestepped the rules. And you've got other clubs like Bayer Leverkusen that are basically run by a pharmaceuticals company, Bayer. But that concept of it being run by a firm, and Volkswagen and Wolfsburg is another big example. But that sort of concept.
They started out as being company clubs.
Absolutely. I mean, that kind of idea is something that's quite familiar in some of the older clubs in England, where they had sort of works-based teams, and that's where they sort of came from. So that sort of things is sort of quite familiar to the people in England. I mean, one of the other things, historically, sort of going back in time, it's only comparatively recently where
Abramovich.
Don't even go there. But I was just thinking about the professionalism in the two countries, whereas there were sort of professional players going back to the year dot, more or less, in the English football leagues. But professional footballers, certainly technically at least, didn't really sort of come into the formation of the Bundesliga, which is in 63, I think it was.
Yeah, something like
that. So prior to that, the whole idea of sports teams in Germany was an amateur business, and even going back to you had players playing for Germany in the national team in World Cups, winning World Cups when they were all amateur players.
That's not exactly true. They were Lizenzspieler and they got money, but it was way different than what they're making now. But just imagine.
Well, of course, I mean they were getting way more in English football than they were then. But they were professional players. That's what they did. That's what their job was. There was no sort of shenanigans about it all. That's what they were. But technically, at least, they were amateur in Germany, as I understand it.
Just imagine players like Gazza or Mario Basler being on a team right now. The physios and the coaches would just kick him out.
Yes.
They used to smoke and drink.
Oh, yes.
They used to smoke during halftime.
And the preparation for a big match would be to have a nice big steak. Yeah. Perhaps not such a good idea, but interesting. There's what's the name of that book? There's it's called Tor, isn't it? The history of German football. Who's it written by?
I only know Anfield.
We'll put it in the show notes. It's a cracking book. It's well worth reading. There's Hertha crops up in a few places. It's about German football across the board, but it's well worth a read. My assistant has just passed it to me. Tor, the story of German football, Uli Hesse.
Okay.
Read.
I think Uli Hesse is a member of Elf Freunde, the German football magazine.
Yeah. But there's an English version of it for people that are into that kind of thing. And it shows some of the sort of history of the development of German football right from the start. I think he did a new version of the book, I think, that covered the last World Cup. He updated it to update the history at the end. But a good read if you're into that kind of thing.
Yeah, I was thinking about translating a few of the Hertha books. So if there's any publisher listening...
Yes.
I just want to mention real quick...
Do you think we've covered all what's necessary for the 50?
No, I just want to know the thing why it's a current topic right now is that Hannover there's an exception rule that says if you have invested and then it says then there's the word where they're all fighting about is if you invested a major amount of money over 20 years.
Yeah, there's a time limit thing on.
Yeah,
isn't there? So.
And you have basically two people who are doing that right now. One is Hoffenheim, and he put in billions of dollars, of euros. And then you have Kind in Hanover, who is hated by everybody. And the thing is that he was... He always said that when his 20 years are up, which is now... He would either ask for the full control, or he would sue. And then there's debate about how the 50+1 rule would fare in front of a real German court and not a sports court. You know.
Mm.
So that's the big thing. And yesterday, on Monday, it came out that it's something fishy. He said that he will not pursue. His formal application any longer, and they will discuss this topic. But it's really a big, big topic. And the thing with Kind is that he did not put in that much money over the years. Some money, but not as much as this. They're fighting about the sums he has invested, and it wasn't that much. Seen over the 20 years, it was only a little bit. Of course, they were in the third tier, and now they're in the Bundesliga. But he's a pretty Uncle Scrooge type of guy.
Yes.
Yes.
You see clubs in England that where that have been, you know, bought by these investors that, you know, have no real loyalty to the club at all, and especially if they start asset stripping and what have you, and you know, sort of selling off players, selling off this, and just milking as much money out of it as they can. I mean, you really don't want to go down that route at all. I mean, one of the things you can say about Abramovich at Chelsea, for all his failings, the one thing I would say in his favour is he's a real football fan. And you see him sitting there, and he's squirming and wriggling or cheering, yeah, like any football fan would do. I mean, he's put a lot of money into that club and what have you, and you know, people call them Chelsea and all this kind of stuff. Yeah, and there's a lot of truth to that.
But they won some titles.
At least with that particular guy, he is. You know, it may just be a giant plaything as far as he's concerned, because he's got however much money it is out of Russia. But he is a fan. So.
Yeah, but then I think the worst example that comes to mind is third tier. No, I don't even know where they play now. The other Munich club. TSV 1860 Munich.
1860, yeah.
They have this, I don't know where he's from, Jordan. He's from Jordan, Hassan Ismaik. And that's a cautionary tale for investors.
Yeah. Because wasn't there some talk about, you know, them wanting to be able to sort of get all the way up through, and they've done exactly the opposite. They've gone.
They went down all the way.
They've gone down, down, down. Rather, yeah. Up. Yeah. I saw an 1860 sticker in Tenerife, would you believe?
I saw some Union stickers.
Yes, yes. I saw several of those, actually. Outside Bar Berlin, there was somebody who put a Union sticker. There were more Hertha stickers, but I did see a few other ones.
Okay, so we finished 50 plus 1. Maybe if you're listening to this and you have questions, just ask questions, because I think it's far more intricate than the one definition we gave, actually. No, it sounds pretty simple, but I think it's pretty complex.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people don't appreciate the fact that the professional teams have been sort of carved off as sort of separate legal entities from that are beyond the 50 plus 1 rule anyway.
Oh, hang on, I just found something. At every home game, there's the Kurven Echo, which is a little leaflet, I would say, or pamphlet, yep. Handed out by, and it's a pamphlet. Yeah, it's written by HB 98, Harlequins Berlin, who are the oldest ultra group, and they talk about 50 plus 1. And here it says that Martin Kind, the president of Hannover 96, has proven to have invested less than 10% of the money invested by Dietmar Hopp, the investor for TSG Hoffenheim, who is one of the founders of SAP, the software people probably know about.
People tend to call it SAP in England, but hey, they just do.
Yeah, so if you have any questions about 50 plus 1, let us know. Maybe we can give some more. Maybe we can look up. Maybe we can find some news out that who discussed this in English. If not, we have to come up with our own text.
Hmm.
Which is me, so because you're not helping anyway, so.
No, I don't. It is an important concept, I think, in German football, and people over there should be very sort of wary about. How badly wrong it could go.
Yeah, and that's a thing. When before I knew you, I would sometimes just, you know, you would during the break, halftime, go to the restroom or just take a stroll around the stadium, I would meet English guys and they would all tell me that German football is so great and it used to be the same way in England and now it's because of all the investors, it's screwed and we should never get rid of that 50 plus one rule.
Oh, I mean, just looking at the ticket pricing alone.
And this is a thing.
It's just a crazy, crazy.
And that's the one thing that changed. And by raising the prices, you now have all these people who used to support and used to sing. They're all out now. You have all these, what we would call opera audience, you know?
Mm.
Sit there, no support.
No. I mean, an awful lot of people have been sort of priced out of the market completely. I mean, there's two things there. One is the investors coming in from outside, the Americans and the people from Qatar and what have you. Or Russia, come to that. Sort of come into the Premier League and they put all their money into it, what have you. And they want to get that back via the selling of merchandise and exorbitant prices on tickets. It's huge, great swathes of people that have got no chance to be able to afford to buy the tickets for the Arsenals and Chelseas and things of this world. It's changed the character of the game pretty well completely. And it isn't in terms of the money coming into the game, it's not just sort of these investors coming in from outside and putting a big pile of money to try to sort of take over the clubs. I mean, I think some of the damage has been done by the amount of money coming in from sort of TV rights. I think they're sort of twisting the way the game works. And the same thing's happening in Germany to some extent now, having Monday night games and things coming into the Bundesliga, which is all about, TV showing rather than people actually going to the games and experiencing it in real life. What you do about that, I don't know, but I think that's another threat to it all, is things being twisted, clubs wanting to get hold of money from sort of TV rights and what have you, and they're being, I wouldn't say forced exactly, but having to do things in a way that doesn't fit in with people being there and properly supporting in the stadium.
Yeah, it's all about marketing.
Money.
Marketing the living tar out of every aspect of the game, and the fans are the ones. For example, with the VAR, if you're in the stadium now, you don't have any clue what's happening. So if there's a situation where the referee is talking to the video assistant referee, what I do is I text my somebody who's at home watching.
Yeah.
Because nothing...
To be fair, I mean, in the defence of VAR, if the ref was over in the corner talking to the linesman, you wouldn't have the faintest idea what was going on either.
Yeah, but you don't have any replays and no information at the Confed Cup, at the Confederations Cup.
One could argue, with the video, from what I've seen here, that you can see replays of what they've looked at.
What is here? Is here is here
not
Germany?
In the stadium, but
or is here England? Because you're in England now.
It's confusing, really. Sometimes I spend so much time flipping it. I'm quite dangerous in a car because or even walking around the streets in a city, I get confused as to which country I'm in.
You have to decide already.
Yes, I'm straddling two places.
You can
anyway.
You can take a German class and then you can become a German citizen.
They wouldn't want me.
Oh, I think there's going to be a flood of British people applying for German citizenship. I have a friend who just...
There's loads that already have. Either that or Irish. I know a couple of people that have taken on Irish.
I know there's one girl who has been here for about 10 years, and she, after the Brexit thing came through, she just walked straight to the German embassy and asked for citizenship.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, we're not going to be talking about Brexit. Don't get me started on that one. Otherwise, this will be a 6-hour podcast.
So. Did you listen to the one podcast as the Brexit podcast? Did you listen to that?
I would end up screaming at the wall, so I'm not going. It's bad enough with Twitter.
I had so much fun listening to it. It's the BBC Brexit Cast, I think, is the name.
Well, the Brexit Broadcasting Company.
Oh, hang on, I have it here in my podcatcher. Oh, I found a funny one. It's called The Hilarious World of Depression. Oh, BBC Radio 5 Live has the Brexit Cast, which is, you know, for me it's funny because I'm, you know, I don't have any, it doesn't affect me, so I just don't care.
No. No. Oh, there was a thing in there. Oh, where was it? I think it was something in the Telegraph, I think it was, which is the Daily Truth. I've forgotten exactly. I can't quote it because I can't remember exactly what it was. But something to the effect that that Germans hate us because we won the war or something like that. It was something absolutely pathetic. And this is on the front of an alleged broadsheet newspaper. That they're just insane, these people. But that's just my opinion. Anyway.
Yeah, let's not go.
We digress too much now.
The thing is, I have to leave. I'm actually running late for my weekly football match. So would it be okay if we postpone the fan discussion to next week?
Absolutely. Until the next time.
Also, I don't want to have all our millions of listeners. You know, I don't think the quality of that one is going to be that good, you know? With the Skype and everything.
Yeah.
So,
and if it's something else now that we can be talking about, sort of the fans and what have you, that'll keep them waiting with bated breath for the next episode.
Yeah. I don't know.
What are you laughing about, Jan?
Nothing. Zero fun podcast.
Right.
Okay, the upcoming games, we talked about that. You, hang on. Do we have two away games now? No.
Leverkusen
away, Mainz at home.
Leverkusen away, Mainz at home, Bayern away. But there's something. Yeah. Anyway.
We will talk about. I think there's a international break in between.
I think there is a gap there somewhere, yes. Yeah. Because I remember sort of looking at the calendar and thinking, oh.
So we will probably talk after the Mainz game?
Yep, definitely.
4 points.
I'll be there for that one. I'm just hoping it's not snowing.
Now you jinxed it.
My better half here was absolutely thrilled about being in Spain for the game and seeing the film on the TV of the snow coming down at the Hoffenheim game.
I was so upset. We were sitting there in the snow, and you tweeted or Instagrammed something about, oh, it's such horrible weather here in Spain. I'm going to watch Hertha. Well,
I was just rubbing the salt into the wound. There you go. Right, so.
I already gathered all my football stuff while you were talking.
What? Well, I was having one of my quick rants. You went off and collected your gear. Anyway.
It's all close now, to
are we? Are we done?
Hang on. What were you saying?
I'm saying, are we done now?
I think we are. I just hope that the whole new... we have a new setup today because as we were about to start our recording, we realized that you were not audible at all. So we hope that this one works. If not, we have some backups. Or we just talk again tomorrow for a few hours.
The original plan was to record this while I was in Spain, but...
I had to work.
You had to work, So I had my headphones, I was all planned, but we changed all the plan and I'm doing it from a very sort of dull-looking England at the moment.
What's the weather like there?
Sort of partly cloudy, partly... Well, I mean, the sun's going down, so it's getting a bit dark, I suppose. But it was quite nice and sunny in the morning.
It's pretty sunny here, but it's really cold.
It was cold. There was snow over the car.
We're below zero.
Yeah.
And now I'm going to go and play football outside.
Don't send us any tweets saying that it was minus 27 this morning when you got into your car.
Me? No.
Our friend in Patrick in Canada.
Mr. Dupuy.
If I do my little whinging bit about it being cold in the Olympic Stadium, it'll remind me the fact that it was about 20 degrees colder where he is. So,
minus 27?
I think you're a brave man living in that place. Patrick.
Or was it 27 Celsius or Fahrenheit?
Celsius. Fahrenheit, that really would be. Minus 27 Fahrenheit, that would be... That would be something else.
No, but 27 degrees is something below, maybe 10 degrees minus Celsius. I don't know. Get rid of this stupid imperial system.
I don't tend to use Fahrenheit, I'm afraid, but that's just me.
I know the formula. It's minus 32 divided by two-thirds.
And in next week's maths podcast, we will be dealing with...
Fun with flags.
Anyway.
Okay, I want to... Maybe we should just ask our listeners to give us some feedback.
Yeah.
Like us on... Nice. Rate us on iTunes. And we're always happy for every little tweet that comes our way. Today, we were pretty touched by... Do you have it on you? The Gregory Hansen...
Yeah, that's a very nice comment on Facebook. We appreciate it. We'll do our best.
He said, "I really enjoy your podcast and look forward to every episode. I wish you long success. Ha ho hey." Thank you so much.
Ha ho hey.
Yeah, maybe that's a good point to end the whole broadcast. It's a goodbye for me.
And it's good night for men.
Good night. Oh, shit. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Siegen Sie, die ganze Gruppe, sie kriegen Ruhe, auf Gesetze, sie stehen.